We give thanks to the Lord and we call upon His name and we make His deeds known among the people. And we talked about encounters and Wayne saying that Cheryl woke up and said, "He talked to me." That's an encounter. And as we have briefly looked at the whole idea, you know, encounters can be used as a stimulus, as an inspiration, as a continuation, or people can just forget encounters. Any touch of God in our life is an encounter with God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. We are encouraged to remember. We look at, you know, God had Israel. They were always building monuments to the encounters with God. And they built the monuments so that future generations, you know, kids would know to look for piles of rocks, I would guess, okay? You know, what's that pile? And what's that pile? And what's that pile? And what's that pile? And each pile of rocks, someone could tell them, well, that was for this, and that was for that. And maybe there was a pile somebody didn't know about, and they'd say, well, that I don't know for sure what that's about, but you know, God did something there. You know? Every time we see a pile of rocks, we know God did something. When we see a mountain, we know God did something. When a fisherman catches their lure on a rock, they know God did something, not to their lure, but the rock is there. When the lure gets caught on a rock, a fisherman can praise the Lord or not. That's probably a learning process. Not being a great fisherman, not really being any kind of a fisherman. I've been enough of a fisherman to catch a few lures on things. I've gotten a few of them back, and I've gotten an empty piece of string back, and well, if you're not really a fisherman, it's not that big of a deal. If you're not really a fisherman, it's a good excuse to quit. I did learn to sort of enjoy fishing when I quit worrying about fishing and enjoyed the water and quiet and maybe fellowship and maybe not, depending if it was with somebody, you know. But I mean, that part I could get, but I still don't get. I honestly, when I was a kid, my favorite fishing would have been ice fishing, because I had this thought that if you were out in the water, on top of the water, that was a better place, because the people with the boats have fish, but I see a lot of people catch stuff from the shore. So a good fisherman will go anywhere to find fish. I guess that Jesus was a great fisherman, because He would go anywhere and everywhere to find us. There's no shadow He won't light up. You know, we've been in the shadows. There's no shadow He won't light up. There's no dark place He won't come to. There's no place that we can get far enough away from Him. The Bible says nothing can separate us from His love. No mountain He won't climb up. No wall He won't kick down. We've built walls in our lives. Interestingly, if you think about it, probably some of the greatest walls we build in our lives are after we're saved. Because it takes a lot of work to build a wall once you're saved. But there are walls. There are walls of unbelief and doubt and fear, as I shared last week about a young gal who was, a wall was kicked down just by the fact that someone else shared that God was there in the midst of drugs. After someone else, after a pastor, had actually helped to build the wall by saying, well, it couldn't have been God because you were on drugs. Hey, drugs are no problem for God. Alcohol is no problem for God. unbelief is a problem for God. To get us beyond that and get us through that. And after all of that is done, after the light has come on, and after the understanding and the realization of the need, you see, Christians should be needy people. Not needy from the standpoint of being needy, but from the standpoint of being needy of God, needing God. Salvation comes from needing God. Needing forgiveness. Needing deliverance. Realizing, I need that. And God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. People who think that they come to God and do God a favor, they're in a tough spot. Because they convince themselves of a lie. And the Bible says that if we convince ourselves of a lie, God will send a delusion that we'll just go ahead and believe the lie. Now, does that mean God wants us to stay in the lie? No, I think that in the midst of the lie, there should come a moment where we open our eyes and say, what in the world am I doing? What am I thinking? Or what have I done? I mean, I think that in our news we can see all kinds of just people that have deceived themselves so much that it doesn't matter what, they're just determined to stay deceived. Michelle Malkin, she's a conservative commentator, she made a statement, and it was a good statement. She said, in all of this, they lose their souls. I mean, they just give up so much on truth and gotta have their way. You know, and it's like if you lie enough, you'll be convinced that it's true. And so people have lied to themselves and lied to themselves, they don't need God. They've lied to themselves that they need something else more. Ultimately, they have to lie to themselves and say that there is no God. And then if you say that there is no God, then you've got to spend a lot of time proving that there is no God, and you've got to come to a place where you ask yourself, why would I spend so much time trying to prove something doesn't exist that doesn't exist? You know? It's like, and so the delusion might just come to the place of a revelation. But we need to be needy. Needy of God and of nothing else. At every turn, we need God. Big turns, little turns. We'll never go wrong needing God. We'll never go wrong calling on God. It would be good for us to get in a habit of calling on God. You know? God, help. I got Vicki a shovel attachment for her works wagon that she loves so much. Now, obviously, she's not going to use the shovel attachment, but I thought that I would put it to use. And so I put it to use yesterday, and I was going, and my wheel came off. And there's just a little pin that's not in there. And I followed the tracks of that thing, saying, God, I want my pin back. Lord, I want my pin back. I want my pin back. And I looked everywhere. I didn't see the pin. I kicked over the piles of snow looking for the pin, you know. I said, Lord, I want my pin back. I need my pin back. And then I said, of course, I know that I could go and buy one, but Lord, I just really want my pin back. I imagine I'll find it in the spring, but I did go and buy one. And I was coming back to put it in, and God said, aren't you thankful that you can buy one? I said, yes, I am. I am thankful. I said to the Lord, I said, for what that pin cost, I couldn't spend very much time looking for it. It came off when the lumberyard was open. Thank you, Jesus. And I bought it for a very nominal price. And now it's in, and the wheel is not going to come off again. And I'm going to watch those pins in the future. I don't know how that came off. Thank you, Lord. You see, you can't go wrong thanking God for the littlest of things. It's in forgetting to thank God for the littlest of things that we lose our concentration on God. And so guess what? If I'm not thanking God in the loss of that little thing, I'm mad that I lost that little thing. And right there is an opportunity for the transformation. See, change is a simple request. Change from darkness to light is a simple request. God, forgive me. Asking God to forgive us and come into our hearts is after an enlightenment. And so now we're saved. But transformation then requires the continuation of that needy attitude. The King James or New King James, it'll say, present yourself therefore to God a living sacrifice unto God. Which is pretty tough language for nowadays people. Present yourself as a little living sacrifice. So the New Living says it probably the way that it says it in a gentler, kinder way. Don't copy the behavior, the customs of this world. Well, that's not really friendly language either. To us in this world. You know? I mean, hallelujah! my phone and in the presence of the Lord, I can see the screen. Now the hope is, the belief is, the praise is that it's going to stay that way. Hallelujah. If it doesn't stay that way, I will show to you what happens to it. Okay? But because I had this squiggly screen of death like it was a printer test pattern, and I said, I think my phone died. Now, here's the deal. If my phone dies, I don't have my Evernote. If my phone lives, I have my Evernote. And then I can talk to you about Godfather and Father God. You see, Father God is different than the Godfather. How's that for profound? And Father God can do more than the Godfather, but if you happen to like Godfather movies, you know that if somebody wanted to talk to the Godfather, they spoke to someone, and on a given day, there would be lines where people come in and talk to the Godfather, and they would tell the Godfather their problem. And if the Godfather took an interest in their problem, and unfortunately with the Godfather, it was also, what could this person do to repay me? The Godfather would nod his approval, and that was it. The problem was taken care of. They would go out, and they would tell their wife or their children, don't worry, I've spoken to the Godfather, it's taken care of. As they would be leaving the room, the Godfather would say, I may call on you someday. Now, everybody kind of knew the rules. And so sometimes if the guy went out and told his wife, honey, I spoke to the Godfather and it's okay now, she would say, oh, what have you done? Because she would be a little concerned about what might be required afterwards. And so there are tiny similarities between the Godfather and Father God in that if you go in and you speak to him, you can come out and say it's done. And you'll never get a call for a return favor. You don't have to lay awake sleepless waiting about it. No, instead you're supposed to lie down in peace and sleep because you have spoken to Father God. And so the enemy has spent a lot of time and effort in this world getting more people to look to Godfather type things than to Father God type things. I mean, I don't know what the percentages would be, but I think that it would be a small percentage if you put up a thing and said that you had a choice to spend time with Bill Gates or go pray to Father God. A lot of people would say, whoa, I can go and talk to Bill Gates. Maybe I can talk him out of some of his money. Maybe I can do, you know. I mean, because Bill Gates is a person of influence. But that's because they don't understand that God is the influence. And it's in the transformation that we become more aware of the revelation of the greatness and the benefits of closeness to God. See, there needs to be a transformation that takes place after the change. Because otherwise the change fades away. See, you can be changed and so confident of the change and so fired up for the change, and I'm so glad that the Lord saved me and everything is good. And that's good. But then if you let that idle, if you let that go down to a, as I've shared, you know, they said when we got saved that I was in the honeymoon stage and that it would temper and I would become, you know, maybe what they meant was that I would become more bearable, you know, whatever the case might be. But, you know, it's like I thought, well, why would I give up the excitement? Why would you give that up? Because I see what happens when people give up the excitement. The change fades, and the appreciation fades, and the thankfulness fades, and now it's where once wherever there was an opportunity to worship God, wanted to go to. Well, we're pretty busy, you know. And when daily times with God become, well, I better spend my time with God. Something's faded. And so we have Paul telling Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. Lord, search me, know my ways, try my thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me. I don't, you know, we've got to notice when we're slowing down. Have you ever been driving a car and you're going along and you've sort of been noticing your gas gauge was a little bit low, but it's going along good and you're just planning to get to the gas station and then you get that and your speedometer seems to be slowing down and you haven't changed your cruise control or you haven't taken up your foot. You know, you're going. You headed up a hill, you know. I was coming home from Yankton one night, and I had it figured out that I could make it to Max Corner and I could get gas. And I just was certain that everything was fine because, you know, I had 14 miles left. My car said 14 miles left of gas, and I knew it was only 12 miles to Max Corner when I turned from Fort Thompson to head up. And I started up the hill, and it went 14, and in 50 feet it went 13, and in another 50 feet it went 12. And by the time I'm getting to the top of the hill, it says I only got 8 miles left. And I'm, oh, no, 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 no. Started to climb, and the indicators told me I'm in trouble. Now, why in the world would it change so much because I was going uphill? I was glad, and I hope that you're glad to know that I did pull in, and I got gas. But it was a scary moment when I saw that thing dropping the miles that I still had gas for by the yard instead of by the mile. Mountains in our lives can slow us down. They can discourage us. You know, In case you wonder what I was saying when that was going down, I was just shouting louder, "Praise the Lord! Oh, praise the Lord! We're going in on fumes. We're going in on Holy Ghost fumes. We're going, you know, I mean, because hey, it's better than what I might say 35 years ago or so. Vicki and I knew every vehicle, how far they would go on empty. Because I ran almost every vehicle we ever owned out of gas. Looking for that gas station that I remembered was coming down the road. And we had a standing joke. You know, I'd say, "It's your turn to walk." "Oh, honey, I don't have on the right shoes." I've walked across people's fields. Because I saw a house in the distance. I did get gas. God will always fill your tank if you know where to go to get your tank filled. But if you're not continuing in the transformation, then the change is fading and God just becomes. He just becomes. He's not really a convenience, because if you go to a convenience store, you expect them to have what you want. And he's not really a convenience because you don't really expect much from him. But, you know, it's that old thing of, well, all we can do now is pray. Well, that's sort of a faithless statement. Why don't we pray? But from transformation comes that, let's just pray. God didn't get any smaller. God didn't get any less able to supply or provide when I couldn't find my little lock key yesterday. He did not fail me. He did not let me down. And he just was very conversational to say, "Aren't you glad you could buy one?" How fortunate are we? Yesterday, Vicki and I were eating some not-so-good apples going down the road. And I'm usually the one that makes the statements about, you know, what they are. But she was the one this time. She said, "Well, you know, there are people in some countries that would be very glad to eat this." And she took a couple more bites even, but it ultimately fed the birds. Not me. I eat the whole thing. I read somewhere that those seeds are good for you, so I eat the whole thing. And I figure crushed seeds are better than anyway. But I mean, it's like in everything give thanks. You can't in everything give thanks unless you're thankful. And being thankful comes with the transformation. And notice it says, let God transform you. So he's more willing to transform you than you are to be transformed, but it still has to be a desire. It still has to be a need. And so in any given situation, we can come to him prepared to be transformed. It's like the table that's set before us in the presence of our enemy. The table's there. What we need is there. If you're angry, peace is there. If you're bitter, forgiveness is there. If you have a need, it's there. And as we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, we're confident it's there. And so we go there and we give thanks. We don't worry about anything. We pray about everything. We let a request be made known to God, giving him thanks. And then the peace of God. Now, here's the deal. When that peace of God comes, we can take it and we can wrap ourselves up in it, or we can shake it off. I mean, I've been teaching the people in jail to recognize when God just enters the room. And when I feel his presence, I say, can you feel that? And they don't shake it off anymore. Yeah. You see, because if you give them the opportunity to recognize it before they take the opportunity to shake it off, now they can sit in it. So now I have some pods, they just come in with their hands up. Bring it on, Roger. Bring it on. We want the Holy Spirit. They show up having already prepared, because there's a transformation taking place. And there's always, God is trying to transform us, but now as we grow in the Lord, now it's up to us to enter into the transformation. Make it our desire. Let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. How many, I will tell you that I have times almost every day where I need to change the way I think. Just, not necessarily because I'm thinking bad, it's because I ain't thinking good. Because maybe I'm not thinking God. And so will I do that? Will we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? You know, today's Super Bowl day, okay? I think that there are some players on each team that have possibly been on the other team at one time or another. And now when they meet, they need to have made the transformation from Patriot to Eagle or Eagle to Patriot. Because if they haven't, how excited do you think their coaches or their fans will be if some quarterback says, I always liked that cornerback. Just throw him a pass to make him look good so he can get an interception. And afterwards, if they said, man, it looked like you threw it right to him. And he said, I did. Because I always liked him when we played together. Would not go well. Yeah. Or some defensive end happens to really like a... They were great friends, even prayer partners when they were on a team together. And a running back comes around the corner and that big old defensive end gives him a high five. And they tell him, you missed that tackle. He said, oh, I didn't mean to make that tackle. I always liked him. I wanted to do him a favor. That's an incomplete transformation from team to team. And I dare say that we run into times where we've had an incomplete transformation from dark to light. Because there might be something dark that we want to hold on to. There might be something that we don't want to forgive. There might be something that we don't want to do. Charles Stanley had a devotional on the Bible app today, and he was talking about that they were going to build a increase their church size or something, and that they were talking about the offerings for that, and he'd been giving, but he felt like he should ask the Lord about something specific, and the Lord had told him to give his camera equipment. He said that was his favorite hobby, and but he said he knew he needed to do what God told him to do, and so he took all of his camera equipment, his lenses and everything else, and he took them and he sold them and he took the money and he gave it to that. And he said that by the time they got done, they paid that thing absolutely debt-free. And one day a lady came to his house and said, are you Charles Stanley? He said, yes, I am. He said, these belong to you, and sat some bags down and walked away. And in those bags were every piece of his photography equipment. And because he was transformed enough to believe and trust God, he didn't give those things to God in hopes of getting them back. But that's just how good God is. See, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has in store for those who love him. And so we should just with great, great joy say, I just love you, Lord. Because we don't have any idea what he's got in store for us. But what if in the transformation and the renewal of our mind, we came to the conclusion that he was the answer to everything? And so then in all things, we called on him. And in every circumstance, we thought about him. And we thought about him thinking about us. And we were just pretty sure it would be all right. And we would become a people who said, you know, there's no shadow that he won't light up. There's no mountain he won't climb up. There's no wall that he won't kick down. There's no lie that he won't tear down. We in our lives, even as Christians, can believe a lie. We can believe the enemy when he says it won't get any better. You can have a circumstance like Wayne and Cheryl have, and she's going along pretty good, and then she gets sick, and the enemy says, here we go again. But Wayne's made a transformation. He just looks at him and says, you're going to get it this time, buddy. Because I know my papa. I know my papa, and my mind is not deluded, and my mind is not going to go back, and my mind is not going to give up on my God, for I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that God is for me, and if God be for me, who can be against me? You see, the neediness for God is a good neediness. It doesn't make us weak and sniveling, and makes us strong and confident. Because I know in whom I believe. I know where I put my trust. And I have put my trust in the Lord. I put my trust in the Lord when I got up this morning. I put my trust in the Lord in the night when I woke up. I put my trust in the Lord when I went to bed last night. I put my trust in the Lord. I put my trust in the Lord. That's a good place to put it. I keep getting these emails, and I just delete them. They say, well, it's official now. Banks have been given permission by the government to steal your savings. Huh. Good thing I keep some in my drawer then, isn't it? Told Vicki the other day that I was out, and it was putting the dogs out, and I was out there, and it's just It was a pretty morning, and there was a pretty moon, and it was that eclipse of the moon thing, and I looked up at that, you know, and it was just about to the end, you know, and I had this thought. I said, you know what? What if when that baby's complete, it's all over? I told her, I was thinking, the cash in my drawer will be useless. My motorcycles will just be sitting there. And I've made enough of a transformation that really didn't bother me. What bothered me was that I thought about that, you know? Thank God he didn't say, sell your motorcycle. I wouldn't have the courage to say which one. I'd just sell the smallest one and say, good, I did what God wanted. See, you'd run the risk if I said which one. He'd say all of them. Thank you, Lord. You're not going to do that. Hallelujah. I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. Let God. That's all it's about, is let. Let God. And the way we let God is to desire God. And so we recognize when things are not of God, and we take them to God. If we're worried, that's not from God, take it to God. If we're fearful, that's not from God, take it to God. Now you're going to be on pins and needles. Barb has something to talk about. But this is the thing, you see. to recognize that. And we can recognize that because we've come to God. You know when you don't feel God-like, don't you? You know that. You recognize it because when you're feeling God, you're feeling good. So if you're not feeling God, you need more good, more God. I mean, as simple as can be, but is that what we want? See, that's why it says, just let God, don't copy the behavior of the world. You don't have to copy that behavior. Just let God help you. Christians, above all people, should be most desirous that God help me. And so what is it? Because we all have little shadows that creep up. We all have little mountains that God needs to climb up. We've all got walls, you know, that they just come up and maybe they haven't come up and they're going to come up, but we'll recognize them because God will kick this wall down. He'll kick this problem down. We won't believe the liar who is the father of lies. We'll give that to God for him to tear down. See, we've been changed from darkness to light by our call for salvation. But the transformation continues on and on and on. And being aware of the need, hey, there's no condemnation from God. If we need a new transformation, there's no scolding. There's no, it's about time. There's none of that from God. He says, do this thing. No, let's just do this thing. I mean, you probably had some time, something maybe in your life where you knew a better way to do something and somebody was doing it a different way and you just finally let them do it their way until they finally came and said, hey, can you help me do this? Well, if they did, if that happened, when they did you tell them, I'm not going to help you anymore? Or do you say, okay, let's do this thing. Let's do this. A while back when I was cutting some boards and it came to me that probably I should quit trying to do it the hard way and I should go out because John's got the stuff to do it the right way, you know. He didn't scold me and say, I don't know why in the world you didn't just come right away. He didn't say, nope, sorry, shop's locked up, I'm busy. No, right out there getting it. I'd have done it part way. John don't do things part way. We did it all the way. I didn't say we can't do it that way. I said, oh, bro, I love how you work. That's how we need to become with God, is, Lord, I love how you work. And until I see it completed, I'm going to enjoy the anticipation. See, that's a renewed mind. That's a confident faith. And that's what we all want. Because more and more and more and more, we are the answer for more and more and more and more people who don't have any idea. So increase your transformation work in our lives, Lord, as we present ourselves to you to let you transform us by renewing our minds. In Jesus' name. Now Barb's going to come up because she's got something she wants to say. No, 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 come on. You can come up. If I came to you, we'd have to be like this so you could talk in the microphone. And my wife's here, and I'm not going to do that.
Well, when Roger said, does anybody have anything to say? I was being nudged, but I was nudging myself back because I don't like this. I don't like to talk. But as some of you know, I've had some health issues. Nothing serious, I don't think, but went to the doctor the other day, and they were asking me all these questions. Are you anxious? I said, no, but Gary thinks I am. Are you stressed? All kinds of questions. And, of course, it was no, no, no. And I got home, and I got to thinking, maybe I am stressed. Maybe, no, I was stressed. I don't know why, but I was. Anyway, I was sitting there yesterday in my chair, and I was praying about all the things, the strife, the anger, anything that was coming against me. And I believe that I was healed in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My acid reflux, I don't know, it's only been a short while, but has not bothered me at all. I just feel, this morning in worship, I just felt, a complete different person.
Hallelujah.
So,
praise
God.
The Lord. Amen.
That I have a praise report.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And you have an answer if that tries to come. Get behind me, Satan. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord.